Doctor.
It's Clobberator.
Engage.
Shazam!
Chevron 7, lock.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight.
Kawabunga.
Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 48. Oh, I can't believe we're going to be doing this. This is the first show that we've ever done where we are literally in different states. Kane is with me. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, you know, I'm doing fine. I'm sitting in my nice, warm home. Got a nice chair, desk in front of me, and just enjoying it. Where are you up to?
Well, I am sitting in a car in North Carolina. It's about 35 degrees outside. And I have about two or three jackets on, but anything for the inmates.
That's
anything.
Right. There you
rain,
go.
Rain, sleet, or shine. I have to be here every Sunday.
There we go. Yeah, if you're not, I have a fill-in that we can't use that much anymore. Because apparently the asylum has been growing. I want to thank everybody for subscribing, joining on our Facebook group. If you have gone from Facebook to the podcast, thank you. Welcome to the asylum. We got a massive bump up this week. Thank you to one of our fellow inmates, Melissa, for throwing the word out there. And I'm just wanting to thank and welcome some new listeners. I understand we do have some young listeners listening to us, so we are in the mix of cleaning some things up.
Yeah, no more potty mouths.
No more potty mouths for us.
No more potty mouths. You gotta clean it up.
We will warn you before we do that if it is an episode that probably is a little colorful, but we try to keep it to just what's on TV, the George Carlin, the lines, whatever's on TV. I think we should be fine with those and safe.
Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be all right. But welcome. I'd like to echo those sentiments as well. Thanks for bumping us up from, like, I guess we had 100 something followers.
No, less. We were sitting at 74, and now we're almost 200. Actually, I think we broke 200. Well. So
thank you. Keep on coming in, and yep. I see that you put up a new poll, so that's very interesting as well.
Yeah, we are reaching the end of the year. So what we're going to do is I'm trying to figure out a couple of polls out this week. One for the movie. What do you guys think is the best movie of the year? I put what I felt should be the top contenders. You can vote on those, but I also left the option open. For maybe if I didn't include something. So maybe if I didn't include what you guys might think is a good movie. I do see one of our good friends, Mr. Benjamin, throughout the new Star Wars movie. I know it's not out yet, but he put it on there. So maybe afterwards, if you guys think that one made the best movie, fill that up. And we're going to have a end of the year show just to kind of do breakdown, what we did this year, what movies we saw, which ones we thought were good, bad. I'm sure Kane and I might have some similar ones, but I think there'll be a few that we're going to be a little different on.
Just a couple. Just saying. There might be a couple we disagree on, but that's the joy of it.
Yeah, it is.
Because you're wrong and I'm right.
And I've got the mixer over here. What'd you say now?
Yeah.
But
stuff you do?
Okay. Yeah, that's right. And so we got that coming. So keep an eye out for that. It'll be our first end of the year. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, that may be
episode 50.
Our 50, yeah. Our last episode for the month or for the year will actually be our 50th episode. So that's something even more fun to look out for, because I think that's going to be a special show in itself.
Halfway to 100.
That's right.
Halfway there.
We're almost there. Yep. So so we're going to go ahead and jump into it. Our first area, we try to get these out of the way because they are kind of sad. I hate starting off with a downer. We did have some big downers last week, some Star Trek alum passing away, and literally minutes after I think we got off the air last Sunday, this dropped. And I've always been bad at his last name, Rene Auberjonnes.
Auberjonnes. Auberjonnes.
Yeah, he was on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. He played the shape-shifting security Odo. And also, me growing up as a child, he played probably one of my favorite sitcoms, Benson.
Oh, yeah. He was the...
He played Clayton.
Was the prosecutor?
Yeah. He was like the state's attorney or something along those. Like, okay, he was Clayton Remedy Ellicott III, and he played opposite Robert
Guillaume.
Yeah, and he was there was this one episode I just remember them going back and forth. It was like a burn. Before there was, you know, these burn battles and epic rap battles, these two went against each other in a very similar fashion, and it was hysterical.
It was always great. And it was always like very civil. It wasn't like in your face. It was always like that banter between back and forth, like, hey, you suck. No, you suck. I'll tell you why. It was always pretty cool. So,
and he plays in probably one of my favorite movies from the 1970s, one of my old movies I love. And I just, some of you folks that are my age or older, when I say this, will probably want to slap me. But he actually played in the original MASH movie, because MASH was a TV series, but it actually started as a movie. He actually played the character of Father Mulcahy.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, I got to look back on that.
He was he always kind of was like, kept his head down. He was wearing like glasses and a hat most of it. So you really have to look out for him to see that. But yeah, he passed away last Sunday. I guess he succumbed to fighting with lung cancer. So, as one of our fellow podcasters saying, a big bag of wind for you, we will be missed.
You indeed will be missed, part of that community. And as always, when we lose one of our own, it's always a sad day. So rest in peace, Renee, and to you and your family. And, it's like I said, it's always tough losing one of these, you know, our members of our community, especially, you know, this way. So,
yeah, I mean, that's somebody definitely I know I grew up with. You know, he was around for shows that my mom was watching that I watch. And then, of course, with Deep Space Nine that I grew up watching. And then so he was all over the place, doing a lot of different shows. And he took his turn as a character actor there for a while, because he would just pop up and just play one role and then vanish again.
Yeah, well, he got a little bit older after Deep Space Nine, so he just kind of like faded. And that's what they all do with all those character actors. They kind of just, once they have like a big series under their belt, 5 years, you know, they'll get those residual paychecks and they can do Broadway shows and just pop into
He was a big theater guy, so.
Yeah, so. Like I said, always tough. Always tough to lose one of our
own. So we will be he will be missed. We're going to go ahead and jump into what we call our new segment. It's the admissions ward. It's where we drop the latest news, new trailers, just everything that's been coming out for you guys that can't keep up with it, because I know, you know, life is life. But we try to collect all that information, drop that out on our Facebook page and Twitter. But here we actually sit down and you can actually hear what, you know, our opinions about it and kind of, well, you know, the reasons why we like to post these things. So here it is, the admissions ward.
News from the admissions ward.
All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and let Kane take over on this one.
Hey, guess what we have? We have our first images. I didn't tell you about this one. This is the one we're just adding to the admissions ward. The first images of Netflix's Lock and Key have been seen at Bloody Disgusting. If you don't know what Lock and Key is, it's really kind of like an H.P. Lovecraft sort of, kind of like a Lovecraftian almost story, but it's a lot crazier, a lot weirder, and we got our first look at the house. I haven't read too much of Lock and Key. I think you have, but it's interesting. Now we got our first look at it, so that should be on Netflix sometime, probably by the midsummer, if I'm thinking correctly.
Yeah, I think that's what I read, was midsummer. No, I was never, I never wanted to read that. Seen it on the shelves, but I never picked it up to check it out. I like the images that came out. I'm hoping for a good, you know, scary show, something on your seat. If anybody's ever been a fan, gotten a chance to watch like Hulu, Castle Rock, I'm hoping for kind of that kind of same vibe and same genre from them.
Yeah, let's hope. I mean, I just want it to be a little bit more scarier. I mean, that was good, but that was more suspenseful. I just hope they go full on horror in this one.
Well, I mean, Castle Rock's based off of Stephen King, and to me, Stephen King's not scary. Stephen King's suspenseful.
No, he's more suspenseful. He's more about the suspense, and he builds that up. I mean, there'll be a jump scare every now and then, but it's not really absolute horror like they think he is. Yeah. He's, like you said, he's more suspense. But like I said, I'd never really read the book. It'll be interesting to see when it comes out. It'll be one of those, you know, if I like it, then I'll go back and read the book.
Hopefully it does well, because Netflix is going to need some ammo in the now existing streaming wars that are going on.
And like Shang Tsung says, it has begun.
Yeah. my one for this week. I know we talked about it at the last episode. Ghostbusters trailer Afterlife dropped this week on Monday, and I got to tell you, I was in love with it. I the the new feel to it, that it's not straight comedy. And but I never, this is, I guess, kind of one of the things I was like, I was getting a little irked with when I was hearing a lot of reviews this week about it. A lot of people were like, oh, it was Ghostbusters as a comedy. And I never took it as a comedy. I took it as a movie with comedy in it, but I would never put it in a genre, comedy genre.
No, yeah, I think that's what they messed up on when they did that reboot with all the women. But Ghostbusters was, I agree with you, never really a comedy. It was, if anything, it was had like slight elements of horror in it, yeah. But it had comedy in it.
Yeah. And
that's what made it great.
So. And a lot of people online this week were going, oh, you know, it's not a comedy. I didn't get that comedy feel. And I'm like, I'm not sure. I mean, yes, it had comedy actors in it. So I think that's what they're thinking. That, okay, Ghostbusters, you know, you had Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, you know, Harold Ramis, all alums from either Saturday Night Live or from Chicago. Left my head there. Something House. I can't remember.
I'm trying to think now.
They were a comedy troupe that was in Chicago that were pretty much, most of them came from, but Dan, I know Harold Ramis was big in there.
Second City,
yes, thank you. Yeah, and they all kind of jumped around and stuff, but it's like, yes, they were comedy writers, comedy actors, but when you really delve into it, it was a movie about ghosts, and even Dan Aykroyd will say that this was an homage to his family, because his family were paranormal type people. They investigated ghosts and they looked at this. So I think for him, it wasn't even a comedy. Yes, it had, you know, humorous moments in it, but and I'm looking forward to it in the new trailer, because it has that. It had like a couple of jokes. Hey, you remember that summer we died underneath the table? And, you know, it kind of had that humor, but it had the darker side. And I think one of the things that I read also was somebody saying, you know, Stranger Things Busters. And I'm like, well, Stranger Things creators will straight up tell you they borrowed from the Ghostbusters. So,
yeah, they, I think, like, what, literally, that's, yeah, what that's
we're
what
seeing is
about.
We're seeing a full circle of, you know, of creativity happening here. You know, Ghostbusters was created. Stranger Things was based a lot on Ghostbusters and kind of that feel, that the non-comedy feel. And then now you have a couple of actors that are from Stranger Things in there. So yes, it has that. But I think it looks great. They're giving a nod to the characters. They're giving a nod to the history. I thought, goodness, just drew a blank again. Paul Rudd.
Yeah,
I thought,
yeah,
he did
Paul
a pretty
Rudd's
good.
In there.
He did a pretty good job. Stuff. So I thought it was. It looks great. I'm excited. I was actually really. It's one of those ones that I had to rewatch like four times. That's how excited I was about the movie.
Yeah, because it's like we've always talked before. You know, I think people have a big problem with the Ghostbusters reboot that came out, I believe, I think it was 2-3 years ago,
2016.
Yeah. So, and the big thing was, but you hate it because it's women. No, I never hated it because it was women. I hated it because they basically crapped on the original series, saying it never existed. They never tied it in. They had like Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd in that movie, but they were basically totally different characters.
Yeah, they were just cameos.
And this one, the legacy is there. It's just like, hey, look, remember what happened 30 years ago? That's when ghosts were there. Hey, look at this. Look, I found a proton pack. Hey, look, Ecto-1. It's in this freaking sewer. It's been sitting there forever. Hey, what is this creepy old house? Who's the grandfather? Which I think it's going to be Harold Ramis's character.
Everything's pointing that direction. Because if you look in the trailer, when they walk into a room, there's spores, mold, and fungus. And that's what he told Janine in the movie. That was his hobby. And that's what you see in there. So I'm like, okay, that's a complete nod to Egon as her father.
Yeah, and it's a good way to do it, because sadly we don't have Harold with us anymore. But this is a great way to homage him and give him the respect that he deserves. And I love the whole feel of it, too. I mean, people were saying that, oh, look at Finn Wolfhard. Once again, another 80s-type movie. I'm like, hey, well, if he's got a nice little gist, you know, hang on to it. It's good for Finn. You know, maybe he'll be in the remake of The Goonies when he does that, too. let's hope. Actually, let's hope so. I think he would fit in well. But I loved it. Everything about it, it just, like, it tangentially touches on the old feel, but you're still moving forward. And I think that's what you have to do, especially with an IP like Ghostbusters. You can't like totally go back to where it was. Hey, guess where we're going to go? We're going to go in the Midwest, where, hey, everything that happened was like a legend type thing. Oh, man, you know, they're still around. I love the feel to it. I cannot wait. I think it comes out in July next year sometime.
I believe that was
cannot wait. So I'm totally excited.
Yep, me too. So what do you have next, sir?
Hey, guess what? We got our first sets. photos of Andy Serkis on the set of Venom number 2. It's not too many, like, you know, pictures of anything. It's just him in his hat, kind of like directing people around. But it is filming. I believe, if I am correct, the movie should be coming out by October 2020, I think. If production and everything, you know, they do all these special effects, should be by 2020. But yeah, Andy Serkis is directing Venom 2. We're going to get Carnage. We're going to get Venom, I guess. We're going to have that fight. I heard rumors, maybe, possibly, maybe, hopefully, that Tom Holland might show up. I don't think he will, but I keep hearing that. Actually, I heard that rumor in the first Venom, so that never happened. So I don't think it's going to happen again.
But I think those are just wishful fanboy, you know, dreams, and that's fine. But one of the things I thought was cool was not just Andy was a photograph, but also there was a second picture in that reel that showed a St. Estes orphanage and the home for unwanted children, which that is a direct connection to Cletus Cassidy, who was an orphan, and that's what the orphanage he grew up in. So it's a straight nod, a straight recognition that, yeah, Carnage is here, Cletus is here. Weird look, sounds like we're going to get an slight origin story with him, and then jump into a Venom versus Carnage, you know, storyline. Which,
yeah, and hopefully the origin of Cletus doesn't be too long. I mean, I think I've always talked to you about, like, you know, we don't have to have an entire movie of an origin story unless it's a really big character, you know, like a big IP. But with a guy like Carnage, you know, I've always said the best origin story that I've seen that was done in the beginning of a film was the Incredible Hulk movie. That was Edward Norton. They had the entire origin in about 5 minutes. It was like little flashbacks. You saw how he became the Hulk. You saw the accident. You saw the incident. And it was done. And I hope they do something similar to Cletus. Not in the opening credits, but, you know, let's just get it out of the way. Let's just get, you know, we want to see Venom versus Carnage.
Yes, I can see that with Hulk. Carnage, though, Carnage isn't as known as Hulk. Really, all they did in Hulk was kind of do a recap of kind of like the origin story from the Incredible Hulk TV show. We all know about the TV show. We've all seen the Hulk on the cartoons and all over the place. We've seen two Hulk movies. So to me, yeah, he doesn't really need an origin story. But nobody's seen Carnage. So we do need a little bit more than just a couple of flashes and a couple of scenes.
Well, I wonder how they're going to do it, because his origin is so tied in, not directly with Spider-Man, but he's around. So I'm just wonder how they're going to tiptoe around that.
Well, they don't have to tiptoe around it, because they took care of that in Venom.
Yeah,
straight up removed the whole aspect of Spider-Man from the Venom character, which I had issues with for them doing it. That was something, you know, go back and look, guys, on the first 5 episodes there. Yeah, I had some major issues with Venom coming out. I enjoyed the movie, but they did the one thing, and they did remove the heartbeat to me, I feel, of the character of Venom, is they removed Peter Parker and that angst between Parker and, you know, Peter and then Venom. And then, you know, that love triangle that with Eddie, Peter and Venom, they removed that aspect of it. Now, with this one, the origin of Venom really does not matter for Spider-Man. It matters because of Venom, because Carnage is a child of Venom. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that really the lack of a Peter Parker Spider-Man is going to affect Carnage that well. It's more about the Cletus character and how messed up he is. And we already kind of got a hint of that.
Yeah, with that horrible wig that Woody Harrelson wore. But I'll forgive it. Hopefully they'll do something different in this.
Let's hope
it
not.
Is Andy, and, you know, we'll see.
But yeah, so definitely a heavy hints to Carnage, which I'm looking forward to.
Should be fun.
Yes, sir. Next one I have is the return of the original creators of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are reuniting for a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles story. If nobody knows about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they started way back in the early 80s, a black and white series. Everybody's talking about the independent comic books nowadays and, you know, the independent writers and artists out there. That's what these guys were. It was Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. They joined forces back when they were kids, you know, I think Eastman was a kid. I think there was almost a 10-year difference in their age, but they got to meet each other, got together. They started working on doing a trying to write a book together. They were in a studio called Mirage Studios, and basically Mirage Studios was Peter's his home, and they were roommates together. And one day, to create the Teenage Mutant Turtles, basically what it was is they were sitting there screwing around back and forth. One wrote a drew. I think it was Kevin that drew a cartoon of a just turtle standing up. Then Peter passed the picture back. It added something more to it. And then bam, bam, back and forth, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were created, and they self-published themselves, and they sold out within days. So they were picked up. If anybody really wants a full rundown of their history, check out I think it's the Toys That Made Us series on Netflix. There's a huge rundown on that about their history and about, you know, the history of them. But the coolest thing about that show is that show actually got them to meet again. They had not seen each other in decades, worked with each other in decades, and that show actually got them to go back to the original house, do a tour, and they actually, the show ended with them actually drawing together again, like starting to draw the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles again. And so what they have done is they are reuniting. If anybody's out there looking at the comic books now, you should see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin. That is their story. It's going to be coming through IDW Publishing, so check it out. And if anybody's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan, they are fun runs. Definitely.
They are definitely a fun run. Yeah, I can't wait. Those guys are back together. Should be interesting. See what they can do.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see something here. Maybe we'll get more out of them. I know Peter's gotten up in age and doesn't draw as, get in there as much, but I know Kevin's still a big factor in there.
Yeah, he's still dusting here and there, but, maybe he'll get the creative juices flowing again with his old partner, and we'll go from there. So, looking forward to it. I guess, when are they going to start doing it? Is there any word? Or
they're just, it's announced 2020 summer, The Last Ronin will debut. That's all we have right now. They are already working on it as we're speaking. But, yeah, that's all we have right now.
Okay. Good stuff. So I guess I go next.
Yes, sir.
Guess what, Mike? The next 3 years of DC are finally being planned. Like, yes. This is etched in stone. It's not a joke. It's not a press release. It's not something that you find underneath your rug in your house. No, this is actual facts. We actually have dates of all the DC movies for the next 3 years, and I'll run them down for you.
And they are coming out swinging, folks.
Oh, yeah. They're bringing out the heavy hitters. Birds of Prey will be out February 7th, 2020. Wonder Woman 1984, June 5th, 2020. The Batman is the next one, June 25th, 2021. Suicide Squad, which is sort of the reboot, subtle sequel, August 6th, 2021. Then we have that long-awaited movie that's been around in production for 30 years, Black Adam, will finally be out December 22nd, 2021, followed by Shazam 2, April 1st, 2022. Which I think Black Adam will show up in that movie.
I believe Shazam's going to show up in his, because they're 4 months apart.
Yeah, I think something.
They
would not put those back to back for reason. And guess what? Another movie that's been in production for 300 years, The Flash, just finally a release date, July 1st, 2022. That's by Andy Muschietti. He did It Part 1 and 2. And then we have officially Aquaman 2, December 16th. 2022, it's going back to that December month, which was very, very successful for them. The first time, made over $1.2 billion. So that's going to be our breakdown of DC's finally getting on the map now. They're bringing the heavy hitters out. Marvel's in a state of reconstruction, as we can say. And here comes DC. So they're ready. Finally. It took them a little while, but, they're here now.
And I think they're doing it right. If you look at Marvel's release, they don't have a lot getting released in the next 3 years, maybe five. I mean, there's more concentration on the streaming service products, I think, from Marvel than anything else. So, I mean, they're coming out with their big guns on this. I love the idea of Black Adam, Shazam being 4 months apart. I think that's awesome to see.
That's very smart.
And the only one out of all of these movies that we don't know anything about the world that they're in, or the timeline that they're in, is really the Batman. We don't know if that's going to be a prequel to them. Is it going to be in its own standalone? Everything else is pretty much, we all know that they're all in the same world.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some tweaks here and there, but the Batman is the only one that we have not gotten like confirmation or even a little hint of it being, yes, it's outside of this world or not.
We've heard rumors that it might be in the early 90s. I've heard that. But, you know, they're going to have to find a way to fix the continuity of, you know, since Ben Affleck is now gone. I mean, how are you going to explain that Batman away? I mean, and if you've seen the Wonder Woman 84 trailer, you know, how they said that she was, like, never seen until you saw her in BVS. They kind of kept that continuity a little bit because when she's fighting those bank robbers in the bank, she's basically taking out the camera so nobody sees her.
Yeah.
So she's still an unknown. So I'm just wondering where he fits in. Like, where is he? I mean, does he get whisked away? Do they say that never happened? I mean, I
hate to say this to you, and I'm going to even say it to mine. They just aren't going to be used. They were already used to bring birth and life to this continuity, but they don't need to be used anymore. They've kicked open the door, said, here's the DC world. They can go off and now have their own solo little things and don't even have to be a part of this, but they've created this world. So as long as this DC continuity exists, they will, in a way, still be alive, you know, still be there, but they're not going to be on the screen, I don't think.
That's strange, though. I mean, like I said, I just wonder where he fits in all this.
Like I said, if anything, that's where this Batman's gonna determine whether they're gonna just say, hey, you know what, he's gonna be like the Joker now. The Joker is not a part of this timeline. It's on this another loop. This Batman may be on another loop. They're now, you know, talking J.J. Abrams starting up a new Superman, you know, run. I know Cavill's still, you know, itching to get back in and do it, but some talk of maybe him not doing it. So maybe they're gonna just branch off and just have the Batman and Superman have their own little worlds, but let the DC regular world continue on its own, which I think is fine. I will miss them in the world, but there are so many amazing characters in the DC catalog. Bring out more movies.
Agreed. I mean, it's just going to suck not seeing the Trinity. That's what really is going to irk me. Like, oh man, we saw him barely for like a little bit. And
we saw him for three movies. What are you talking about? What a little bit? We saw a trilogy from them. That's a lot for a movie. I mean, I know you're a fan. I'm a fan too. I would love to see it. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to see more of this and see more of them. But I'm also a fan of everybody else, and I want them to have their time in the spotlights. Superman and Batman have had their time since the 1970s, 60s, if you want to include the TV show. Let the rest shine.
Which is what I also wonder with The Flash coming out. Where does that take place? Is it before? Is it after? Are they going to do a Flashpoint? I mean, that's a lot of – The Flash is in a murky area as well.
Well, it's the director
– They could do a lot with it. And they could fix a lot of the continuity that's out there. Like, they could really explain it all away. I mean, if they wanted to go that route, I don't know if they're going to do that.
Let's hope not. Don't explain it away. Just we tripped a little bit with the movie. The world is there. You already have Wonder Woman out there. You already have Aquaman out there. You can't change a continuity of movies that already exist. Like, now they literally are having to fight against five movies to change continuity. That would be a big uphill battle.
I mean, I'm just saying there's a way they could do it.
Yeah.
It could be explained if they wanted to. I don't think they're going to go that route.
Not that route. No, no. I know
they're going to go. They're going to go traditional. They're going to go origin. And to me, honestly, I don't want this movie, but we're going to get it. So the big thing is, you know, how are you going to differentiate this Flash from the one we've seen on TV for six seasons now, over 100 episodes?
Same way they did for you know, the other characters, for Batman, and you know, they differentiated them just because it was a big character, and honestly, they really don't have to, because the TV Flash already explained everything away in this Arrowverse crossover. In the last two Arrowverse crossovers, there's multiple universes. Yeah, there's multiple worlds.
Yeah.
They don't have to explain anything. If all they have to do is, well, if you're a fan of Flash, then you should understand there's multiverses out there.
Yeah, like Earth 6666. So. Or Earth 203. Yeah. Earth 89. I think we'll get to that soon.
Yeah, we're working on it. We go there. We're going to get to your stuff. Simmer down now. we're building that. We just can't give it away right off the bat, man.
I had to give him a little bit of hints.
Well, I already told him the crisis is coming.
Crisis? Yeah, like I said, crisis is coming. Like, I keep hearing on the radio, and oh, God. The build-up for that was, like, just overkill. Guess what? A crisis is coming. A crisis is coming. Like, okay, we know. A crisis is coming.
All right. So, well, our last bit of news here before we get into the crisis is so during the second to last weekend of May 2021, and to be more specific, May 21st, right before Memorial Day weekend, both Matrix 4 and the forthcoming John Wick film are hitting theaters. So basically, audience members could go to one screen and see Reeves doing one thing, and then them go to another theater and see Reeves doing another one. And
so basically, John Wick is going to be hooked up to the Matrix.
I'm telling you, they're just prepping you for one movie. You're going to walk in. You're going to pay for a double feature.
I hope that happens. Yeah,
you know, you're going to see John Wick.
I really hope they stick to that thing. That would be so cool. I mean, it'll continue the Keanu-sans. I guess that's what they're calling it now. But I think that's fun. There's a way you could like mix those movies together, and it actually would work. Like, it really work. We talked before we went on air in the green room about that, and I think your idea would really make a lot of sense. It really would. I mean, you go in one movie, hey, guess what? You want to see the sequel? It's in the Matrix 4.
Well, you've got some of the same actors that bounce back and forth, so they can explain it that they were in there trying to hint to him. No, man, you got to get out, man. You got to get out.
You're really in here, John.
Yeah.
your dog's not really dead.
yeah. He wakes up. They pull the thing out of his head in the Matrix, and a little dog runs over and licks him in the face. And there we go. Yay.
It never happened. Oh, yeah. So that's going to be in what year?
2021. So we have
2021.
Yeah, we have another year and a half almost to get that out of the way.
Well, Keanu's going to be a busy man.
Yeah, that's going to be a psychotic, because I know he does press on that. I don't know how he's going to do that contractually, because, you know, you have to do the press junkets and the press tours. I mean, it's just going to be crazy for him. And then, God forbid, anybody tries to come out that weekend.
Oh, God,
with another movie.
don't even bother.
Just move
it.
Yeah, that's movie suicide. Don't do it. Yeah. Don't think about it.
Don't do what Solo did. Don't do what Solo did. Yeah. That's a big no-no. You release Infinity War 1 week, and then 2 weeks later you release Solo, and then nobody saw it. That was a bad movie.
Yeah, bad movie. Bad Bob Iger.
Bad Bob.
All right. So that is the end of our admissions ward. All right, before we jump into the crisis, which I know Kane's over there drooling, just... I just want to do a review. We've been doing this every week. You know, the show that broke the internet with the legendary Baby Yoda. The Mandalorian dropped their sixth episode, I believe it was.
Yeah, yep, episode.
And I'm, again, still a fan. They have yet to do... I thought the number five was a little lolly, like it lulled a little, but... made up perfectly with number six. The actors that were brought in for it, I thought were amazing. To actually see a Twi'lek, you know, real life Twi'lek, like not just like walking by, but actually being interactive and seeing the even more dark underworld tones of the Star Wars world. It's just everything. Every time they move, every time they release something and make a move in that world, it just reinforces that I can't wait to see more and more of this.
Oh, I would agree. I mean, especially when they go on the, you know, no spoilers, but you know, this is the New Republic, and you find out there's a New Republic's prisoner ship, and you see these new droids, which, you know, I've always said that I hated the Roger droids because they're stupid, but these droids. These ones were badass. Yeah. I don't know what they were, but they had like the little Imperial like dog little thing on there. But then they had these other droids, which were really just insane, like intimidating. And they were like just like ridiculously badass. So I dug this episode. It was just, to me, just like my favorite word. It was really just dope. It was dope. Yeah. You had Clancy Brown in there as a voice, that devil horn type figure that you see in the cantina in the original New Hope. He was there. Always good to have Clancy.
Devlin, I think, is what they're called—a Devlin species.
Devlin
species. Yeah, they didn't create it with the names.
And if you didn't notice that one, believe Republic officer that was in the ship who commanded that prisoner ship was the voice of Anakin Skywalker on the Clone Wars series, which I found
that voice sounded so familiar. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he was the voice of Anakin on Clone Wars. So I was like, oh, wow. See, it's Filoni tying everything together and bringing, you know, his boys that give him a chance. So everything about the episode I love. It had like a little horror type feel to it too. Almost like I remember playing a game many years ago for the probably an old system called the Atari Jaguar. You probably don't remember it, but one of the first and only games I bought for was Alien versus Predator, and you had your different modes. You could be like the Marine, you could be the Predator, you could be the Alien. And I always chose to be the Marine because I felt he had the better story. He had to go against the Predator and the Alien. and it had that vibe to it. It just like, you know, the enclosed spaces, the red lighting, you know, just like,
yeah. And one thing about that,
basically
one,
hunting.
Yeah. And the one thing about that game, I remember that I loved and I thought was the coolest idea and the most simplistic idea. No music.
There was no music. No, it was all atmosphere. Yeah,
it was all atmosphere. You heard things moving. You heard sky. Yeah, I thought it was like, wow, that's perfect. You save money, but you're creative. And there, yeah, there are a couple of scenes in this Mandalorian where you really find out what kind of character he is and what kind of, you know, bad guy he really is. Because he, there are certain things he does. You're just like, oh, okay, this is why everybody's saying you have a reputation. Do you see the reason why he has a reputation?
Yeah, and there's a nice little, like I said, I'm not going to give it away if you haven't seen it yet, but towards the end of the episode, we see something that kind of brought it all home for me. You know, you see a certain, I won't say what it is, but you'll see something that's very familiar, and it kind of brought a twinkle to my eyes. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow, look who's there.
A lot of friendly, not happy nods, and to the world that we know. And this, again, reiterates why I believe a Star Wars world without Jedis can exist and can be great. Yes, yep. We have a Jedi. Yes, Baby Yoda's there, but he's not the maker. He's not the one making and breaking the, you know, things. He's there doing his own little story, which the little thing that he had going on with the person that was still on the ship.
That was hysterical. Excuse me. But yeah, that was fun. And I believe we're going to get two episodes this Friday, and that's basically to finish off the season with The Rise of Skywalker coming out. So Mandalorian's done.
Yep.
Come this Friday. So hopefully they can finish off with a bang. We know season two is coming. So lots of good stuff coming from Star Wars. And like I said, Mandalorian is definitely the top. You know, I think we were both anticipating the series coming out, and I think we've been rewarded handsomely. Oh, yeah. So.
And we finally got a couple of – I know our friend Steve that does the movie watch-alongs with us, he finally has gotten a chance to watch The Mandalorian, and he is in love with it. So something you and
yeah, I – Yeah, look at that. See, Steve? See? Not everything has to be in the movies. Some of that is taken from the EU. Yeah. Huh? How do you like that?
Yeah, he texts me a couple times, and I'm like, okay. I didn't want to say anything. I'm saving it. I'm savoring it. So that way I can make a comment in person with him. So, but hopefully this will open like other people's eyes too, not just his, because he is one of those watchers and fans of Star Wars that is very restricted to, I need to see it on this big screen. If it doesn't happen in the big screen, it doesn't exist. But here now he can see, okay, this is a small screen. These things are happening and they're legit. And they're part of the world, and hopefully this will get him into jumping into the other ones. I know with him, he's not a big cartoon guy, which I get, but give it a shot. It took me a little bit. I love Clone Wars, but I finally am now with DC Plus. I'm finally getting towards the end of Rebels, and just some of the most. I think I'm at the end of season four, and there's some of the most heartbreaking, heart wrenching moments, and just amazing stories that are done. And, you know, and that's, you know, another nod to Filoni. I know Jon Favreau is a big one on Mandalorian, but I know he and Filoni, I see Filoni's fingerprints all over the place, even though his name might not be on the screen. His fingerprints are there. So
no, definitely. You can see his imprints everywhere in that show.
All right. For Mando. So, yeah, very good. So yeah, Mando's looking good. And if you guys have not yet checked it out, please do yourself a favor. And I don't know that. Just there's a lot of cool stuff on Disney. I'm not a shill for Disney at all. I've born and raised here in Florida. The mouse was always a bane to us because it was a lot of our traffic that we had to deal with. But I will definitely still
speak
do
for
yeah.
yourself, sir.
I still deal with it. I just take the bus and ignore it. But all right, guys. So we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to take it back up a little bit and let Kane take over this, because I know he's been dying for it.
Yes, Crisis is here. It's no longer on its way. Crisis is here. Episodes 1 through 3 have already aired. They're under mid-season break, and we'll get to see the final two episodes January 14th on Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow. I have done a review. Actually, I did watch along for all three of them. They're also in the Heroes of Silent Network, so check those out. I appreciate that. And I guess I'll start the review by saying, I think, Captain Mike, I think you've seen the episodes. I'm not sure if you have.
Yes.
We haven't talked about it. Okay, so.
Because it was kind of tough because I was mixing him down, and I'm like, man, I'm hearing him talk about it, and I got to watch, then mix. Watch, okay. Then mix.
So I guess before I get into the review of the episodes, I'm just going to ask you point blank, did you like them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I liked them as well. But I felt the beginning was not the strongest. But I felt as it kept going along, it got better. And I think when we reach episode 3, you know, we're into it deep now. Like, okay, this is a crisis. Like the beginning one they had on Supergirl, it's like everybody getting together. That's fine. Episode 2, you have them going to, you know, the different Earths. I mean, what I liked was the cameos.
Oh, yeah. The cameos were great.
Earth 89, Earth 66. You got a chance to see Earth 203, which is the Birds of Prey. They had Ashley Scott back on there.
Yeah.
As the Huntress, and she still looks good. Wow. Oh, yeah. Damn. They had, I guess I'll bring it up now. It was one of the big spoilers, is they had Earth 666 on there. And Lucifer Morningstar showed up.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what. Out of all the cameos, his worked the most.
We'll talk
about the Tom Wheeler one. That also worked. But this one, his rapport with Constantine, after I saw that, I'm like, if there was a way, I know Lucifer's going to end after next season on Netflix, but my God, if they could bring him and Constantine in their own show, that's just gold.
Well, waiting. My understanding, this was 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's Lucifer. Before the series.
Yeah, so what I love the fact if really if anybody is an Arrow fan, really if you watch Lucifer, that's a post Arrow, that's a post Crisis Arrow, you know, or you know Arrowverse show. Really, that shows a show out of its own time in a way. But yeah, no, those characters were great. I remember because you even said it when you were doing it. You're like, oh, I didn't know about this. I was like, no, I remember reading specifically that scene to you that somebody had dropped.
Yeah,
as
but
a
then
rumor.
They said that they downplayed that he wasn't going to do it, and I was like, okay, he's not doing it. I'm done.
Yeah.
Then
no.
When I saw, I was like, holy shit, he did it. Like,
yeah, well, the second I saw 666, I'm like, oh, it's Lucifer. I can't wait now. Because I
and
think
he was only
his,
on the
his was
for like 5 minutes, and I was like, I want more.
Yeah.
More. Oh, he was so good. Yeah, I mean, he was Lucifer Morningstar. He wasn't anybody else.
Nope.
He was the same character from the show. And like I said, his rapport with John was the best.
Yeah.
It was so good. I mean, I guess
and I have to tell you, I have to tell you that as much as John is in this, I'm very happy that he's getting a lot more airtime.
Me too.
On this,
he deserves it, especially in the show. I'm glad he's brought back from the dead, literally, and he's back in this world because he needs to be this world. He needs to be that MacGuffin of this DC Arrowverse going forward. Like you just got to have him in there.
He's their Dr. Fate. We don't have a Dr. Fate.
Yes, we need that.
We don't have a Zatanna. We don't have our magical world. He is the key to this Justice League of sorts, you know, magical world.
And the thing about it that I like, and I think you like it as well, is like there's no origin story of like how do these characters met. They've already met.
Yeah.
They've already met. Like he's met them all, and he knows them all. He's like the guy at the bar that he's like, oh, it's Norm. He's like the Norm of the DC world. He knows everybody. And I want to see that going forward. Like, let's say, for instance, it's never going to happen. But, you know, let's say Orion shows up and Orion looks at him, oh, hey, John, nice to see you again. Like, he did something bad to him in the past. Like, that's just cool. Like, he's always dicking somebody around.
Yeah.
He's like the Han Solo of the DC world. He's always fucked somebody over. And even Lucifer, he's like, he owes me a favor. Like, how does the devil owe you a favor? What
well,
did
that
do
was
for
a, that
him?
Was a no, that was a direct cue into Sandman. That was
oh,
a,
was it?
That was
oh.
a that was a direct yeah. That, I can't remember the storyline, but there was a storyline where Constantine helped out Lucifer in the Sandman universe, and that was a direct nod to that. So, whoever wrote that scene did their homework.
Yes, they did. Especially, I love the fact when he gave him the card, and the card had basically his devil face on it. Basically, that was the ode to his series because that's what he looks like with the devil face on. So good. So good. I mean, I guess we're going to talk about the other cameo. Tom Wheeling. He popped in too. And here his cameo I also liked. I liked, like, it's basically the ending of his story in Smallville. What did you think about that?
It was perfect for me. I thought
that
was the one thing everybody's. I heard a lot of people complaining that he wasn't Superman. He gave up his power. It was silly, but if you remember the Smallville world, the one rule that they had, no fights, no tights. They stuck to that rule. And I love the fact that they stuck to that. And it was great. Just the let down, the disappointment in Luther's face when he's like, I can't break you. You have everything you want.
Yeah.
And I can't break you. And all his only little snide comment was, your world's going to end anyways.
Yeah. That was all he knows. He couldn't do anything to him.
Yeah.
And by the way, John Cryer is freaking gold. Gold as Lex. So this is the Lex Luthor that I think we've always wanted and we haven't had since probably the great Gene Hackman was on screen. Kevin Spacey did an okay job. And
Kevin Spacey did Gene Hackman. That's all he did.
Yeah. And then Michael Rosenbaum was okay, but he was more pre-Luthor before he got to be Lex. This is Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
His prime. This is the Luthor who's intelligent and devious and just, he's there. And he knows what the hell he's doing. He can read the Book of Destiny. He can have Kryptonite. He can have, all these, time-warping things. And I love the line where he told Clark, he's like, no matter what universe, no matter what planet you're on, we're always going to be enemies. You're always going to be my greatest enemy.
He is extremely. John is doing the perfect version from the comic books I've ever seen. I can't equate him to any actor. I know, but most people want to because I saw that. He's
Lex.
The true comic book comic book version of Lex.
Yeah, he is. It's so accurate too. Like he did his homework. He really did his homework because. I was thinking when he got cast, it's going to be Goofy Lex, like John Cryer, really Ducky Dale from 16 Candles, going to be Lex Luthor. No. You know what? Again, I love to be proven wrong, and I was proven dead wrong. And especially what happened towards the end of part 3, I guess we'll get to that in a little bit. I'm glad he's going to be there going forward. Speaking of other cameos, we had a cameo that I was waiting for, and that is, of course, when we went to Earth 99, I believe it's, or Earth 90, and we saw old man Bruce Wayne. Yep, Kara and Kate Kane go to Earth 90. They go to see this Kevin Conroy, which we think at the beginning is the Kingdom Come Batman, because everything has led us to believe with the exoskeleton suit. But oh no, Mike, this was not the Kingdom Come Batman. This is not the Kevin Conroy Batman. This is the Batman if shit went wrong. Really wrong. And it even shows it, there's a newspaper clipping, Batman on some kind of crime spree, and the trophies that he keeps in his house. This is like the Dark Knight if he went bad. And people had issues, that's not the Kevin Conroy. I'll tell you what, I loved it.
Well, I didn't expect the Kevin Conroy Batman. No, I didn't expect the animated Batman.
People expected that.
Really?
I thought, no. Gonna be the Kevin Conroy, but I didn't. I was like, oh, he's going to be different. And the way the twist it was, it was so
good. He reminded me very similar to the Thomas Wayne Batman. And that he doesn't care. I'm going to do what I have to do. If I have to break, crack some skulls, I'm going to crack skulls. I think I would take him as that Batman just turned up a little bit more than beforehand.
A lot. He was way turned up. I love that voice. I mean, when they first introed him, he's coming down the stairs. You could hear from afar, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's Batman. That's Kevin Conroy. And he was so good. And his voice and the way he was talking to Kate and what happened in his world and how he ended up like he did. And sometimes, I had a code at the beginning, but you all have codes. But sometimes, things happen and it changes you. And then it explains how he got in that exoskeleton suit, which I thought was a perfect explanation, by the way, that in this world, he killed that world Superman. He murdered him, kept his glasses as a trophy. And when Kara is going to charge over at this 68-year-old man, what does he have in that suit? He has kryptonite. So he's still ready to go at his age. Oh, everything about it, that scene, that whole thing. I mean, the way he died is the way he died, whatever. But I loved it. I loved it. I ate it up. I'm like, this is perfect. This is perfect for me. I love the way they did it. It's just a perfect cameo. And just so good. Just so good.
Well, you also had, the other cameos you had in there. I mean, you heavy, heavy, heavy geek fans out there. You had Will Wheaton in there. But at the very beginning, you had Will Wheaton there. He was the Doomsday, sayer.
Yeah. You had a lot of cool cameos. Just a lot of cool cameos they threw in there.
I figured most of them were going to be kind of what we got with like Burt Ward.
Yeah, just like a quick one and done. They even showed the Titans there for a second, but they were gone. Really
fast. Which is fine because we did know we were going to see, we were going to see the Titans because that was definitely one. There's still talks that we're going to get some big ones. I'm trying to remember. There was also another one that was on here. He was the host of. Oh yeah, that's right. He was a trivia host. That guy actually played in. He was the Tick. He played the Tick's sidekick.
Oh yeah. Okay, I know what you're talking about. Well, when the legends are at that bar. Okay,
yeah,
I
yeah.
Got you.
That's yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So there was more than just the DC expanded universe. You know, when I say the expanded, I'm talking about all the movies and all the TV shows that have ever been. There was more than that. There was, like I said, you know, the Will Wheaton one, that gentleman there. I think there were a few other ones. I don't have my my list here with me of who they were. But yeah, there were some other ones. But I didn't see a cameo that I didn't like. Now the only thing I have to say so far that I'm having issues with is Supergirl and Batwoman are no longer Supergirl and Batwoman.
They're Superman and Batman.
They have now come, and not only just, they have taken over their personalities, and I don't like that. I want to see Batwoman, and I want to see Supergirl being them in this moment, that Kate has turned into Bruce, and that's not what she is. Kara's always been uplifting and stuff like that, you know, but that relationship, I understand they want to have that dichotomy there, which I completely get, but you can't really have that dichotomy without changing their characters, and they're changing their characters too much for this, because what I think is going to happen is when this like crisis is over, Kate's going to go back to being what her other character was.
I hope so, because I think, you know, I think what they're trying to foreshadow, which I hope they don't do. I hope they do, but all the signs are there, and I think you can see the signs as well. They want their own Batman v Superman on TV, and I think that'll be like, you know, not a crossover, but it'll be like an event, like a two-part event, like on her show and then, you know, on Supergirl. I hope they don't do that.
No, because they have their own relationship to be able to. Don't.
And they're like you said, their dichotomy and the relationship works. I just don't want them to be, oh, guess what? They're enemies now. Like,
yeah, no, I don't.
But I'm just afraid. Because they're hinting at it so badly.
Yeah, that means
they
too.
Hinted at it too at the cross. I was like, nah, I hope they don't go there.
No.
I really.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I'm like, I don't want that to happen, because it takes away from their characters and their character growth. Because for everything that everybody's been out there saying that, you know, how strong these women are and what they're doing, they need to keep that. Don't regress and throw on the personalities of the other characters. Let these women continue to build and be what they're supposed to be and be the characters they are.
Exactly. Go forward.
Yeah, I'm seeing the hints. You're seeing the hints. I'm on the same boat as you. I'm like, just don't do it. Just hint away all you want.
Yeah, but just don't pull that trick. Just don't do it. When I saw the episode, that's when I thought he was like, oh no.
Yeah.
That's the first thing, because when she had the kryptonite in her hand, I'm like, don't.
Well, I get that. That I completely
that
get.
That I get,
that
but
like,
I'm just thinking like, oh, because she never had it before. They kind of explained it away, but, you know, they could always be there, like, because she still has the kryptonite.
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing that Bruce did with Clark. And Clark's like, hey, you know, Batman's like, look, I don't want the kryptonite here. Take it.
Yeah.
He's like, no, keep it just in case.
Yeah, exactly.
And basically, exactly what they just same did. Thing here. So yeah. I just, yeah. That part I didn't like.
Yeah, that was probably the only thing. I mean, and you made a comment, I think, a while ago. I think you posted on, and you were saying something about how Kane's character has, like, just grown leaps and bounds. And there is that
in
as
the,
well.
In the crisis,
yeah.
I think she's been one of the best.
Yeah, she has.
In her show, I've always said, like, she's felt like too much of a background character. She's like, it's almost like she's overwhelmed by being Batwoman. All these other characters in that show, like, her sister overshadows her father overshadows her, even that little her adopted sister overshadows everybody. Nobody to overshadow Batwoman. It's your show, But in The Crisis, she, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the writing. Maybe she's getting the gist of the character now, but she's like at the forefront now. She's making cool things. Like, she had the cool scene with Lex, and she had the cool scene, you know, her, just her mannerisms now. Like, it, they're awesome. Like, it just, she's getting better. And I hope that character moves forward into Batwoman, because I like that KK.
Yeah. Not only that, but like her snide little comments to people. I think it was with was it Brainiac? Oh no! Oh no! It was Adam. How he was? He's like, you know, I can fix your suit, and she's like, you like that hand? Very much so. It was just, yeah, those like quick little jabs that, you know, again, nothing. That one I would definitely say is not Batman. Batman would be like, you know, would it go? Yes, I need improvement with this. Yeah, tinker away all you want. And I will have to say, so. Brandon Routh has proved to me what a great actor he is. That he can play Superman and Adam Ray Palmer, and they, and it's the same person. I understand there's just a little silver in his hair, but there's something different when he's in that suit.
Oh man,
something
he's so
comes
good
alive about
that
him.
Suit, it's like exactly, it's like he's been reinvigorated, and it's just like there's a scene that when he's coming out of one of the destroyed Earths, and it's just like a small scene, and he's coming out and he's frustrated, and he's like, "I couldn't save them all. I couldn't do it." And then they ask him, like, you know, how come you have like that, you know, how come you have black, you know, where your S is? He's like, something about like, there's always a light that's going to rise out of the darkness. And he just encompasses Superman so much. And it makes me mad. Like, it sucks that movie didn't do what it was supposed to do, but he was great in it. And I think as the years have gone along, and he basically put the cape and back on, it just, and he's so good. He's so good. I think he's probably even better now, because you could see that growth in him. You believe that he's like the Christopher Reeve Superman.
Oh yeah, it definitely is the storyline that they picked up was that he was Kingdom Come Superman from the death of everybody in the Daily Planet, because that happened in the Kingdom Come series that the Joker killed everybody in there. My only thing is,
they didn't even name the Joker. I like how
But when you look at it, you see the green mist coming out, and you're like, okay, I know who that is. Well, again, I reread the book, so we knew who that was anyways.
I just like that he didn't even say when he was doing his little dialogue or monologue. He's like, yeah, some reject from Gotham City who decided he wasn't getting enough press, decided to gas the whole building. And you could see like the wall of people that died that day. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
you didn't have to name drop.
Now, see, now I don't know if he is his Superman or if he's another Superman, because the comment was that his wife and his kid died. Well, Lois and him at the end of that Superman, they weren't getting back together. She was still married to his name?
The Perry White son, right?
Yeah, or nephew or something like that. Yeah, but yeah, they were nephew, to me, I didn't see them getting divorced. To me, that it was like Superman's like, okay, I can have a kid. My son's there. I know. She knows. The kid's going to know. I can still do my life and be Superman and take care of the people, but I'm going to leave them alone and let them have their happy family. That's at the end of Superman Returns. That's what I read into it. And then with this one, that's why I don't know if that's Superman Returns. Because Superman Returns was supposed to be a direct sequel to Christopher Reeve, so I'm thinking this is just Kingdom Come, not saying that Christopher Reeve's Superman turned into Kingdom Come.
So there's a lot of connections to it, but they didn't outright see it. So
they got loose threads all around there. I think.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of loose threads with there, but I love the whole thing, and seeing him in that suit, man, it's gold. I mean, I love Tyler Hoechlin's portrayal, but Brandon Routh looks like Superman. I mean, you can tell. I mean, he just, that's Superman. That's like the size. And that's like,
well, again, you look at the size of him. Look at him as Ray Palmer, and then look at him as Superman. There's a size difference even. It's like he's throwing that chest out bigger or something. But again, when you if you ever read any interviews with people that were on set with Christopher Reeves about how he was able to be Clark and Superman, and it was like literally you saw his body, everything was just different about him as Clark to when he was Superman. And that's, I think Brandon's captured that. By bouncing back and forth, he may not have his Clark, but he's got his Ray Palmer.
Yeah, true. So,
and speaking of great. Adam, the addition coming.
Oh, that's right.
our favorite from Supernatural.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's coming.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking really looking forward to that. You okay?
Excuse me. Yeah, sorry. It's that little tickle in my throat, but yeah, it's gonna be fun when he comes. That was a nice little ode to Supernatural, by the way.
Yeah,
But all those shows film in Vancouver anyway. I mean, you know what would have been cool? I know it would have never happened, but being it's the last season of Supernatural, it would have been just cool to see like a little cameo. Like, can you imagine like Earth-02 and they just pop in and they see the boys is driving the Impala?
Why? They should have driven behind them as they were in Earth-666.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that would have been perfect.
Hey, boys.
Oh, man. Like, what the hell is that, Sam? That would have been gold, but it's not going to happen. But, you know, wishful thinking. But so far, the crisis, basically, if we watch the ending, and basically, they're almost going beat for beat. Not beat for beat, but they basically have the main points of the comics now. I mean, one of the better points I liked was they showed the monitor towers, which I totally geeked over when I saw the monitor towers. Yeah. You saw, like, the Harbinger, what eventually she did in the comics happen in the show. Like, you knew that was coming. You saw the anti-monitor. You saw, just so many things that they threw in. Like, you talk about doing their homework. They really did their homework on this. And I think episodes 4 and 5 are going to blow us away. Because I think, you know, the first two were more intros. 3, we got a little bit more in the story. But now we're into the story.
What do we have? 2 more after this? Or are they doing another 3?
No, they got 2. 2 more left. See, it's going to be last one's going to be on Arrow.
Okay, yeah, because I think the... Because there were 2 disappointing factors in this that I have. The underuse of Black Lightning, I think.
Oh, yeah. I loved him in there.
I loved him in there.
But he wasn't there enough.
He was just very odd. And then I don't know why they need to do it, why they need to make him it. But the hint of Oliver becoming the Spectre. I was disappointed. And I'm like, no, don't do that. Let him go off and be – don't let him be
Green
strapped
Arrow.
With that.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen now. He's going to become the Spectre with the same Green Arrow outfit, just with power.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – yeah, but I was like, don't do that. Let him go off and have his peace. Don't strap him with the ghost or the spirit of vengeance, you know, that's going to make him be haunted and run around the world for 1,000 years. No, don't do that. Let the man die, and or not die, but go off and be peaceful. If he dies, okay. Or if he goes off to and finds Snoke and they have a life together in some paradise dimension, do that. Don't strap him with the – I think that would be a horrible decision to make him – I know internally he is the god of that universe in a way, but don't do it.
Because you're going to waste
a great character by doing that, because he's going to go off and want to do his own things, and you're never going to be able to use the Spectre. And I think the Spectre can be
used
in other things.
There's a character that can be that's a character waiting to be used.
Yeah, but I mean the way the like Supernatural did with God and the Devil and all everything, like the Spectre can be that extra person to Constantine. You know,
he could be.
But I'm a Spectre fan. He's one of my, you know, my Justice Society favorites. So I'm hoping they don't, because especially, I know I'm changing subjects here, but you know, you have Stargirl coming out next year. Stargirl takes place with the Justice Society. You got to have a Spectre in there.
You got to Captain Midnight, all those guys.
Starman. I mean, you guys.
Starman.
So that's why I think it's a wasted character. It's a lost opportunity. And to me, seeing this 8-year saga story of Oliver, I think he deserves to be like we've always talked about, you know, with the ending of Supernatural. You know, we want to see them and the Impala, you know, going off into the distance.
Exactly.
And that's how I think Oliver should be treated.
I agree. Going back to Crisis, I just thought of a scene that I don't know if you caught it. But, you know, we had the classic, you know, when they had the cosmic treadmill scene, and they have been alluding to all year that Barry's going to die in Crisis. Barry's going to vanish in Crisis, because in the comic book, that's what happens. He basically goes in, reverses the Speed Force. He dissipates and turns into basically the lightning that turned him into the Flash in the first place. And they kept saying Barry Allen's going to die. And I didn't catch it. But then I saw the Earth 90 Flash, and then I was like, oh, okay. This is how they're going to – this is – I kind of call it a cop out, but then when I thought about it, the way the scene was done, because if you've ever watched the OG Flash series from the 90s, they threw a hint out there at the end when he's on that cosmic treadmill with, you know, that Barry Allen when he lost Tina, that I guess that ended up being his wife. And you see that scene, I'm like, you know what? I'll take that back. This is the perfect way for Earth 90 Flash to go out. that's basically the ending of his arc. Like, he dissipates, goes back to the Speed Force, saves the day. That Barry Allen dies, and the other Barry Allen lives.
Yeah, and if you actually listen hard enough, you hear the theme music to that Flash as he's going away.
Yes, you heard the old Flash theme in there. I was like, it was so good. And then, like, the way he took his speed away from, like, he's like, hey, you've been here running long enough. You learned some new tricks. And he took the speed away. I was like, oh. And you could see Barry like, no, don't do that shit. I love that scene. So good. Like, oh.
Yeah, and the fact Vibe's back too. I think Vibe's got something more to do. I don't think he came back yet. And I love the Monitor. He's just like, no, we need you back. Sorry, you're going.
And I love Lamont Garrett as the Monitor, man. Like, at first I was like, hey, he's too monotone, too dickish. But you see, there's a moment when he's talking to Lois, and Lois, like, I don't know who this girl is. I think I've seen her before in Grimm. I think she was on Grimm Fairy Tales, the comic book, but the Grimm, the show from NBC, which I never got to finish.
Oh, the actress of playing Lois?
Yeah, because she was on Grimm. Yeah, that was one of the big things. And she had a moment with the Monitor, because the Monitor is this big cosmic god type of guy. And give it to Lois. Lois basically say, hey, man, you know, you're doing this. Like, did you ever have a family? And the Monitor finally, he breaks down, but he lets his guard down a little bit. And he's like, yeah, I had a family. But, you know, the work that I do, you know, I had to let them go. And you could see, like, something happened to his family. And I think, you know, going forward, I read some comments like Guggenheim and Berlanti, that they're going to hint at the origins of the Monitor and the Anti-Monitor come episodes 4 and 5. So that should be interesting. But just little moments like that. I mean, you have those things that just, and it makes the crossover. And like episode 1, not my favorite, but like everything else, those little moments, man, they make the whole series, and it pulls on your heartstrings. And that's what I love about this crossover so far. It's been everything that I've wanted so far, and we still got 2 episodes left.
Yeah, I would hope for a third one, because like I said, there are a couple of things I think aren't close enough to being wrapped up that I don't think two episodes are going to do. Like I said, the Black Lightning one. Did you get a chance to watch the web episodes that are out there? I think they're on the second CW channel. That kind of
CW Seed? Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah, there's a couple out there that are like pre-crisis ones, and there's one with his daughter. One of his daughters going and attacking Markovia, which I thought was a nice little nod to that.
No, I didn't see that one. I have to watch it. Was it animated or was
it's live action, but they're like little shorts. Yeah, look for them. But it was kind of interesting.
Oh, I'm about to watch
it. And I was like, ooh, they're throwing Markovia into this. Nice. Okay, I haven't. But Markovia is for anybody that's into any of the DC world, Markovia is like one of the bad countries. You know, that everybody's somehow involved with.
I even like the Black Lightning episode that aired this week too. That kind of tied into Crisis, because Black Lightning normally has been on its own Earth, but in this episode they kind of tied it tangentially, of course, to the Crisis, and it was really cool. It had a lot to do with Black Lightning's daughter Thunder, and how basically she was traveling the multiverse in these 3 different versions of her. One was like a one that sacrificed herself. The other one was the one that very murderous that killed her own family. And then you have the normal Thunder from the Earth 30, which I guess Supergirl was on. Another good episode.
Yeah.
It's just like everything they've done has been done so well. And, we'll have to wait, I guess, a couple weeks to see the conclusion of it. But it should be interesting.
Yes, sir. Yeah, well, I guess that is the end of our Crisis segment. All right, guys. There is no legend poll this week. I did not have a chance to get a chance to run out there. There are a couple of good books that came out, though. I can tell you that much. I was looking at them. I'm like, I got to read that. I know they have the very last of the Tales from the Dark Multiverse. They also released a new one for the Black Knight or the White Knight Curse. That one came out. I know they just did a number one for Spider-Man 2099. So yeah, the 2099 series have kind of, they're starting to restart them again. So you should be seeing some new ones. Like I know 2 weeks ago, was it Ghost Rider and Venom came out, and now with Spider-Man came out. So I guess they're kind of trying to restart those series, which is fine for me. Also, in a month, I think next month they start the new the new Dr. Aphra series for Star Wars. I know you kind of like got into it, but I think if anybody wants to pick up Dr. Aphra, I don't know why they're starting a new series, because they only had like 30 books on this last run, and then like they just were like, oh, we're going to start over again. So it's very odd. Yeah, so but if anybody wants to start, you know, pick up from a number one, and Dr. Aphra so far has been great reads. It's fun. Behind the scenes, if anybody's a fan of The Mandalorian, definitely check that one out, because it's behind the scenes, behind, you know, the Empire. But yeah, so we'll definitely have some picks next week. Don't forget,
yeah,
guys.
We'll have to make up big time, because sadly I have no picks this week because
I knew you wouldn't, and so I didn't, and I knew Crisis was gonna be the big one to eat up a lot of our time, so I wasn't too worried.
Yeah, it was well worth it. But I'll definitely have some polls next week, because I definitely have to make up for some lost time. So Josh, I'll be in there this week. Just set my comics to the side, and my Yoo-hoo and my caffeine, and we'll be talking for a while. So.
All right, guys. So, but this week, this coming Thursday, guys, the Star Wars Rise of Skywalker debuts. Kane, myself, Steve-O, and a bunch of other folks are going to be at the AMC in Altamont at 7:30. If any of our listeners are there and you guys happen to be at that time, going to be going to a show around that time, come by, meet us, say hi. We want to, you know, we want to get some FaceTime. We are going to do a small review afterwards. Unfortunately, I want us to try to keep it spoiler free, but I have a funny feeling we're not going to be able to handle that, so I may do a spoiler one then, and then do a spoiler free next week's show. But to lead into that, The Last Jedi is going to be released from us this week, so you guys can listen to that before you head into see Rise of Skywalker. And that's going to wrap up our Star Wars retrospect, building up to the end of the saga.
Yeah, that's it. That's the last one. And when it was a fun one to do. Sadly, we didn't have one person I wish was on there, but scheduling and life gets in the way. But it was a fun one to do, especially from two people who actually defend The Last Jedi. Yeah. So, but we still found flaws in the movie. But, you know, as a whole, I liked it. I still like it. Even after watching it, I like it more after watching it twice or the third time. But it was really good. If you guys get a chance, do watch the midnight movie reviews on the Star Wars. Not only that, but our midnight movie reviews. I'm here in North Carolina, and I got a couple of new followers right now. A couple of friends who have actually listened to some of the midnight movie reviews, and they love them. It's always humorous. It's always fun. I will say, and joyous. The commentary that we do on different types of films. Recently we just sat down last night and we were listening to the Batman and Robin one. That seems to be a favorite of some people here. So, you know, give a listen, give a share, give a like, because they're definitely fun to do. And we're going to do a lot more, I believe, in 2020. Isn't that correct?
Yes. We're going to get back into rolling and starting those off again, just with a lot more stuff coming next year. We're going to be hitting our year. We're going to start off the year with be in our 50s then. So we got a lot coming down the pike. We've got a convention coming up. So new folks listening on the... are joining our Facebook page. So, I mean, everything is kind of there. So, guys, make sure you do get out there. Check us out on Facebook. Thank you for joining on that. If you guys want more, you want to get a linked into the Midnight Movie page, you go to our heroesasylum.com. You're going to see all of our pages there, our websites for our links to Heroes Asylum and for Midnight Movie, as well as any news articles that are coming out. Link to that page, so you guys keep an eye out on that. And I will see you next week. Kane, what do you got?
Twitter and Instagram at The Heroes Asylum, and Instagram at The Heroes Asylum as well, or The Heroes Asylum, sorry. And of course, we share a lot of articles on Twitter. Our main area of message and contact is the Facebook page. We love, love, love the contact and overall support. Please keep commenting, sharing stories. We love it. And as always, from me to you, get to the asylum!
See you.